You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here. Now, if you are new, go over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. It is called the K-Files E-Zine. And you'll see a button with red letters, and it says K-Files E-Zine, and you just click that, and you can subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, no strings attached, and but most people stay with us. We seldom lose anybody. I got an email, over the weekend, I guess. It was Saturday or Sunday. I got an email from one of our longtime listeners. Haven't heard from him in a long time, but he's been listening to this show and sending me email since I was in Kosovo when we first started the show, and it was good to hear from him. Let me say a special thanks to all of our affiliate stations that are carrying the show and affiliate networks, and just really appreciate each of them. And many of you are listening via one of our affiliate stations or one of our affiliate networks, and be sure you send them an email and tell them thanks for carrying the show. Now, I checked with I have family in Texas, and I checked with them, of course, as Hurricane Ike tromped across Texas. I have some children that live in Austin, Texas. And my daughter tells me that they didn't get anything, maybe a little bit of wind. The storm, the fierceness of the storm, missed Austin, Texas, apparently. And then I also have a mother and a son in the Dallas area, and I checked. And in the Dallas area, they had not gotten anything, and everything was just fine, no problem. But when you looked at pictures of this storm, satellite pictures, it was huge. It was tremendous. It was virtually the size of Texas. And I want to remind you, you saw those photographs on your local weather, I'm sure. I just want to remind you that I did a show here where I've done several where we talk about Mars, and we talk about that hurricane or that cyclone that was photographed by the Hubble Space Telescope. Just to give you an idea of the size of that one, the one on Mars, the eye of that cyclone on Mars was the size of Hurricane Ike. The eye of the Martian cyclone was the size of the entire Ike storm. Just phenomenal when you think about it. Just phenomenal. And, you know, we talk about phenomenal things here on The Kevin Smith Show. And so, we have learned to raise an eyebrow. We have learned to, what's a good word? We have learned to be skeptical, but to still keep an open mind. Now, when Hubble photographs it, there's not a lot to be open-minded about. It's there. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we'll be talking with my guest, Jeff Woolline. All right, welcome back. And let me get that trimmed out a little bit there, the volume. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is someone who's been with us before. And he is one of, not the only, but certainly one of the premier videographers of strange anomalies in our skies here above Phoenix. And for those of you who don't know, this show is originating from the Phoenix, Arizona area. And he is one of the premier videographers of strange anomalies in the skies above Phoenix. One of the things that makes Jeff's story, his information, different, and I would say even unique, is that while he began researching and videoing what he thought were unidentified flying objects, he came to a point where, because of his research, because of his observations, and because of his own personal encounters with these things, he came to the point where he said, you know, these are not unidentified flying objects, these are unidentified flying entities. And he has done a lot of research making the connection, or the connection was made in his mind, based on the research, of ancient petroglyphs carved into the sides of the mountains here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and primarily those on South Mountain. He joins us this evening because it's more than South Mountain, and he's going to share with us some of his additional discoveries and some of his additional sightings. Plus, we're going to share with you tonight, for those of you watching on video, we're going to share with you the video of the trip to South Mountain that I made with Jeff Woolline back in July, along with one of our listeners from Australia, Tom McCallum. So we're going to take a look at that tonight. Those of you listening by radio will hear the sound, and you'll hear Jeff talking about the various petroglyphs and what they mean. So let me welcome Jeff back to the show. Jeff, welcome. We're glad to have you. Well, wouldn't you know, for some reason, we're not getting your audio. Try that again, Jeff.
Okay, can you hear me,
Kevin? Well, I can, but our audience cannot. Okay, so we'll work on that during the video. But Jeff says he's glad to be back with us, and I'm just amazed at what all has to be settled back in and made well again once you move all this equipment. But in any event, we'll have Jeff back with us where you can hear him after we take a look at this video. But I want us to go to the video now, so let's just go ahead and set that up.
Gang, if you will, representing the quail. Here we have a guy, okay, and he's looking up. He's looking up at something. That's not the sun. There's clearly an object he saw in the sky. He's looking at something above his head in the sky. It's not a sun. If it was a sun, we'd see rays and things. But yet, it's a circle with a dot. We have a little squiggly line here. This panel will tell us when these things will be here, tracking the sun, right here, this guy here. and the guy with the quill. I don't know if you can see it very well or not here, but we have a swastika here. It's like a swastika, and it's kind of hard to tell. And studying these rocks, and studying the mountain here, when between east, as you go east, and as you go west, you're going to find big cracks on the sides of the mountain. Some of these cracks have petroglyphs, spirals, representing doorways. Each crack is a different life form, if you will. One crack will have a flying snake. 2 or 3 miles down the road, you'll see another crack. It depicts a flying cross. 2 or 3 miles down the road, you'll find another huge crack down the mountain. You'll find petroglyphs. It shows a crooked snake. Each of these mountains, each of the cracks in here holds a different life form. Same supernatural being, just different race, if you will. Different type of life form. So when you see this one light up in the sky, most people think that it's a spaceship. Most people think that there's a guy inside that. In my opinion, in watching these things, it's not a spaceship at all, but in fact, the creature itself. If you see 5 lights up there, there are 5 creatures that you are looking at. In these mountains here, the pyramids, the pyramid-shaped formations, is a dead giveaway on where these things are coming and going at. And then when they get back closer to the equinox, they disappear, they go away. After a week after the equinox, they start to slowly come back. And when they start to come back, all you see is little white dots. As the weeks progress, the white dots get closer and closer and closer until finally you see them what they actually look like. It starts off here. It's a spiral representing a doorway. 1 peak, 2 peak, 3 peak, 4 peak, 5 peak, 6 peak, 7 peak. I believe there's seven peaks there. This actually represents the peaks, the sides of the down the mountain here. We're talking about the doorways. It starts way over there, about 38th Street. That's where the spiral starts. 1 peak, 2 peak, 3 peak, 4 peak, 5 peak, 6 peak, and 7 peak. This is a map of the mountains. When you look at these petroglyphs, you're not supposed to just look at the art, but the whole landscape itself, because the artist is trying to tell us that the landscape, the scenery, is part of the story also. And he's talking about the mountains here on the side of the trail here, of the doors. And what went on here. You see, the Holocom didn't have video cameras back then. They had stone boulders to record their sightings and their stories on. And this is basically what they saw. You see this barbell, this bow tie here? This is one of those creatures. This isn't a normal man.
A minute ago, Tom here climbed the top of that ridge. I don't know if you can see the top, but he climbed the top of that ridge behind us there and got some photographs that the petroglyphs. As we came down and came up the trail here, coming back to this spot, we saw a sign that said, "That's closed. You're not supposed to be up there." So we've got some forbidden photographs for you, and hopefully we'll be able to get those into the video.
Thank you.
Okay, there you have it. That is the trip to South Mountain. Kind of an abbreviated version of that video, but I hope you were able to see at least some of the petroglyphs. Now, we're going to talk about those in some detail here in just a moment. We're going to take a break first. When we come back from this break, we'll have Jeff Woolline rejoin us on air, and we'll talk with him about these petroglyphs and some new ones that he's found. We are back, and as you already know by now, my guest is Jeff Woolline, and he is, as I said, one of the premier videographers of the strange phenomena in the skies above Phoenix, Arizona. Jeff, when I welcomed you to the show before, we had some mic problems, and so let me do it again. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me. Great tour we had up on South Mountain.
Oh, it was great. It really was. And, you know, I enjoyed it immensely. It was hot, and it was really, really sunshiny out there. And, you know, I already have that fluorescent white, glow-in-the-dark white skin. And whenever we came down off of the mountain, I was glow-in-the-dark red. But it was a very interesting day and very interesting to see these petroglyphs that you've talked to us about here on the show, and to have you point them out to us and explain what we were looking at. But South Mountain is not the only mountain in the area that has petroglyphs, and you have found some petroglyphs on some other mountains around. I want to get to that. But before we do, I want you to explain, because in the video, you mention the Hohokam. And for those of us in this area that live out here in the Valley of the Sun, we know who you're talking about. But for those who are outside the area and don't know, who are the Hohokam?
Well, the Hohokam is a Pima Indian word. Is meant for the people who are gone, or the people who had vanished. I like to call it the people who went missing. And so the Hohokam is a Pima word for the people who had gone. Now, there's a lot of interpretations and a lot of theories on who these Hohokam are. And in my opinion, in studying this, I believe that there is a lot of Anastasi work here. Not only...
Now, who are the Anastasi?
Well, the Anastasi was a race that, an advanced civilization, who dealt with... They were sky watchers also. And not only them, but there's evidence that the Mexicans were here also, the Mayans. There's petroglyphs out here that clearly is Mayan art that we find in Mexico. And it turns out that the story here, that the Mayans and the Hohokam interacted and with these spiritual beings. These things, if you will, were their gods. These were their, they were, I guess that's probably the best way to explain it, that these were their gods, these were their spirits. When the Indians, you know, it's interesting on some of these movies, you know, when we watch these movies and the Indians go up there on the mountains and they talk to the spirits, well, in fact, they are actually talking to these things. And this is one of the secrets that I have found that, in my opinion, this legend is true.
It's not just a primitive story about by primitive people that really didn't happen. It was just sort of their imagination. You're not saying that. You're saying that these petroglyphs depict real events.
Yes, this is magic symbols up here. These are symbols of worship. This has been forgotten or has been covered up for hundreds of years, and this could be one of the reasons why the white man has kicked these people off their land, is because when the white man got here, they were following the Christian and Catholic belief. So when the Indians are talking about these spirits, to their mindset, you know, it had to been, you know, either the work of the devil or just a bunch of crazy Indians. And that's how it's been betrayed all these years, you know, that, oh, it's just a story, it's just a myth. We're not supposed to take these petroglyphs and all these stories literally, but we're just supposed to hold it as, you know, just a myth or a story. But in fact, we are supposed to take this literally. This is serious.
Okay, well, why did these Hohokam, the people that went missing, why did they carve into, well, we're into a break. The question is, and we'll get to it after the break, why did they carve all this stuff into the stones? Even if it really happened, why did they carve it into stones? All right, we'll do the break. When we come back from the break, we'll get an answer to that question. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith, and my guest this evening is Jeff Woolline. Jeff, I asked the question just before we went to break. Why did they take the time and the trouble to carve these, some of them rather detailed and intricate, petroglyphs into these rocks?
Well, a number of reasons. One that I like the best is they're telling a story here, and it's a story for, in my opinion, our generation. These petroglyphs are meant for us. In some areas, we find spirals, okay? And the Indian interpretation to this is these are spirals for inner dimensions for these beings. This is a doorway to the underworld, if you will.
Now, did they believe that by carving a spiral onto the rock that they were creating a doorway, or were they simply marking the location of a doorway?
That's correct. They were marking the location. These things have always been here, ever since the beginning of time.
When you say these things have been here, what are we talking about? The petroglyphs?
No, the UFOs, these entities have always been with us. In some scrolls, you know, they call these things the Watchers. And they're watching and monitoring, you know, and just keeping a tabs on things. You know, in some legends, it says that the earth became too loud and too noisy for the spirits. So they decided to cause a great flood to shut man up. Well, think of the world as it is now. You know, the world is so populated, it's no wonder why these things are flying around. Now, when you talk to these natives, that they say that when they got here, they didn't know how to live in the desert. So these things came up out of the sand world, out of the mountain here, and they taught these people on how to live. And when they were able to do that, and then the Indians was able to take care of themselves, they went back down into the sand world and promised to return. That story you not only find here in Arizona, but all over the world, it seems like, in some of these myths and stories.
Now, in some of these petroglyphs, do you have what appears to be like a mixture where it's part human, part something else?
That's correct, yeah. These things like to... They shape shift. They're shape shifters, if you will. They change colors. They change their forms. But when they're doing that, they always go into their natural form. I mean, they might shape shift here, and one might look like a turtle, and then it'll turn like into a snake or something like that, but it always goes back into its original form, either a turtle or a snake, but it always changes shapes. There's many different types of them in here. You know, in studying this, some of these doorways hold, like for instance, one side of the mountain will be these flying serpents, if you will, these type of serpents. And then a few blocks or a few miles down, we'll find another big crack in the rock with petroglyphs, and it shows a different entity, a different life form, if you will. Could be a circle, you know, or a circle with lead. And this is representing what these creatures look like. So not only did they document certain spots on the mountain out here, but they also... They worship these things. This is the reason why on some on the mountain we find petroglyphs over here, but on the same rock, you know, we should find petroglyphs over here, but we don't, because nothing happened over here. Something happened over here in this direction where these petroglyphs lie.
So what you're saying is when we see petroglyphs, the location of those petroglyphs is... it indicates the location where an event took place.
That's correct. And not only that, but they were very sophisticated. You know, this was the best irrigation canal system in the entire world at that time. And they actually, they were sky watchers. They tracked these things through the sun. And they used the light and shadow. They made these rocks. They chiseled out big boulders and rocks to match the light and shadow of the summer equinox and winter solstice. And this is very, very significant. When the sun reaches that equinox or solstice, it casts a shadow, and it goes in through the doorway. And we find this all over the world. These same type of spirals, the same type of light and shadow effect, and it's representing when these things will be here and when they will not be here. The reason why they like mountains so much is because these mountains out here, most of them, a fault line created this. Fault lines generate energy, and during the solstice and the equinox, the energy is just right to open up these doors.
Now, do you know what ley lines are?
Sure, yes. Uh-huh. That's basically, that's another energy spot, and...
Well, let me say this. Walter Bosley was on the show one night. He's been on several times, but one night when he was with me, he had a map of the ley lines in the United States. And it's either two or three ley lines intersect at a major intersection at South Mountain at some place called the Magic Castle. Are you familiar where the Magic Castle would be?
No, I haven't heard of that, but I am familiar with the ley lines that cross here through the mountains.
Yeah, I'm not sure either about the Magic Castle. I'm not really sure where that is or what that is, but that was on his map, so that he was looking at. So maybe that's one of those places that used to exist that doesn't exist anymore. And there are tons, folks, tons of towns that simply are not around anymore. Here in Arizona, and I guess all over the United States. We are about 3 minutes away now from our next break, and I'd like for you to get into what you just discovered over at what we call A Mountain. Now, the reason we call it that is because it overlooks Arizona State University, and up on the side of the mountain there is a big white A that is of modern origin for ASU. So you were up on that mountain. Tell us what happened.
Oh, that was great. We went up there. I took a friend of mine, Nate, and my son up there to take a look at the petroglyphs. And we saw two normal stick figure guys and what looked like a little small guy overlooking two orbs in the sky. Now, like I said, these things are magic symbols. If you acknowledge these things and if you are looking for them and if you talk to them, they will come and see you. It's very interesting that we came across this glyph, and as soon as we got upon that hill, we saw two white orbs, darting in between the clouds there. I can't wait to get this up on the internet, and if you go to Seeing UFOs Over Phoenix, you can see the petroglyphs, and I put Nate, Jeff, and Josh there, and the two orbs, the two UFOs that we've seen. I should have those videos up soon. I'm not sure when, but I'm working on it now.
All right, and so you saw what was depicted in the petroglyphs.
That's correct. These things are magic symbols. Sometimes, you know, I was going as far as saying that these things could possibly well be prophecy. There's so many times I've gone up there, up on the South Mountain and these mountains around here, and I'll see this petroglyph of a guy looking at something strange in the sky. And either that day, coming off the mountain, or a week or two later, that same petroglyph will be seen in the sky. That same design will be up in the sky. So I'm not sure if it's prophecy or if it has... what am I trying to get at? It's the only thing I can think of is magic, you know?
Well, you know, who knows the real purpose of these things, and who knows the real purpose of the petroglyphs? It could be that the petroglyphs sort of serve as a key that opens the door to our being able to see these things that come from perhaps another dimension or another universe. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Let me see how much time when we come back from this break, because we're only seconds away from it, but when we come back from this break, I want to talk about a design that I saw in a fast food restaurant today here in Phoenix. It's a design I saw on South Mountain. A petroglyph that I saw on South Mountain used for decoration in a fast food restaurant. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host. My guest is Jeff Woolline. I do need to explain that we had one of the telephone lines go down today. I know some of you are saying, gosh, you know, there's this, all this technical stuff going on. Well, we had to move the studio, and when you move equipment, it disturbs it, especially broadcast-type equipment. But one of the telephone lines... burned out, I guess is the best way to say it. Just went, it's there, but you can't use it. And so we're down to one telephone line tonight, and Jeff cannot be on the telephone with us while you call in. So we have you blocked right now so that we can talk with Jeff, and I have a couple of more things I want to talk with him about, and then we'll open up the telephone lines for you to call in and make your comments or ask your questions. Jeff, when we went away, I said that I saw something in a fast food restaurant today. This was this place has booths, and I won't say the name because I don't want to give them free advertising. They're certainly welcome to buy advertising on the show. But between the booths, instead of just having open space between the booths, they have this frosted glass, and etched into the glass is artwork. you've probably seen frosted glass. It has artwork etched into it. Here's the artwork. Remember the figure that you showed us up on the mountain of a shaman playing a flute?
Yes, uh-huh.
And he had, it looked like, here in Arizona we have quail that have these little top-notch feathers that point forward.
Yes.
Well, this is that shaman playing a flute with the quail feathers pointed forward on his head. And then coming up from the ground is a serpent. And on the other side of him going down into the ground is a serpent. Now, that is very much like one of the petroglyphs you showed us up on the mountain.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, there are all over the valley here, there are symbols of these Ho'okam, symbols all over the valley here through artwork.
Modern artwork. If you ever come to Phoenix, folks, as you go, as you begin to go under some of these overpasses, on the sides will be artwork in stone, or sometimes in the concrete and then painted. And it's these petroglyphs that we're talking about that are being reproduced as artwork in modern times. Jeff, I want to thank you for being with us. I'm going to have to let you go because of the telephone situation and needing to open up the phone lines. Tell us your web address.
It's seeingufosoverphoenix.com and petroglyphsinthesky.com. And a few things I kind of want to get in here real quick for your listening audience.
Yeah.
On seeing UFOs over Phoenix, now these creatures are being seen all over the world. And I just happened to find two videos that are very significant to what I'm filming out here. It's on my page 2 of seeingufosoverphoenix.com. And I want you to scroll down to the middle there and take a look at the two links there. One, I forget what it's called, but the one that I'm really fascinated about, and I just love this video, Kevin. It is just so great. These guys are great. They are in the right place at the right time. This was filmed in Canada, and these were some guys that were on a boat on the Atlantic Ocean. And they had just happened to see this creature, and it flew right over them, and it landed in some trees. Now, this is very significant. They are at awe on what they're seeing, and it's some of the best video that I've seen in a long time. And this was filmed in Canada. The other video shows what looks like a black creature with a bunch of legs, and it's flying right by someone's window, just like what had happened to me in 2005. I had this black creature fly by the window. Well, this thing that this person filmed was a lot bigger, and it had a lot more legs to it. And I think it's very significant, and I think your audience might enjoy these videos.
That's at seenufos.com, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
All right, folks, that's spelled SEENUFOS.com.
Well, Seen UFOs Over Phoenix.
Oh, okay. SeenUFOsOverPhoenix.com.
Yes, and this video is great video. I'm in contact with this guy, and, there's a lot of critics on him saying that he filmed a turtle balloon. So when you go into that and then you search his blog or whatnot, he puts pictures of every turtle balloon that is known to mankind. He's got it up there, and it does not match on what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
This is some kind of creature, and it has, I guess you could say, tubes or whatnot coming out of it. It does kind of shape-shift a little bit, but it mostly keeps its shape. This is great video, awesome video, and I really commend these guys, man. I told them, man, you did a great job, and don't let anybody tell you that this is a balloon, because that was not a balloon.
Well, and very similar creatures are also being videotaped in Mexico.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Mexico is a hot spot for these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
When you search YouTube, they got that flying witch. And that's exactly what is going on. And if you notice, these things are hanging around mountains.
Yeah, they are.
If you have a mountain, if you live by a mountain, and this mountain has symbols of worship, has petroglyphs on it, chances are you're going to see one of these things at that mountain.
All right, Jeff, thanks much for being with us. And I hope to have you back with us, and hope next time we've got all of our phone lines working. But we're running on one tonight. So thanks for being with us, and all the best to you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks. We're going to open up the telephone line now for you, and I hope to. Yeah, let me get this. Let me get this going. There it is. It is open for you now. And the telephone line that we're using is 623-237-3814. It should be appearing on your screen for those of you who are watching our video feed. And then for those of you who are listening via radio, again, it's 1-623-237-3814. And let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dave. I'm calling from Peekway, Varina, North Carolina.
Could I get you to turn down the sound of the show in the background?
Yeah, I'm doing that right now. Sorry about that.
All righty.
I'm here with Dr. Joe Resnick's sister right now.
Outstanding.
Visiting me. Yeah, she's here visiting me, my mom, and I just want
to we can still hear me back there. It's pretty clearly. I need you to turn me off in the background.
I thought I did. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me talk to my mom. Hold on.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. So you are Dr. Joe Resnick's sister, is that right?
Yes, that's right. I'm his only sister.
Well, I tell you what, he is one amazing individual.
He is. I love him to death. I just wanted to tell you, when you speak with him again, ask him about the Blue Man. If he hasn't told you about the Blue Man, ask him about the Blue Man.
I will do so. Do you want to give us a clue as to what that is?
It's an encounter he had when he was young.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if he's told you about it or not, but I always remember it.
Now, were you there when it happened? Did you see it too?
No, I didn't.
Yeah?
But I fell asleep, and when I woke up, he told me about the Blue Man that came and took the kittens away. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Okie dokie. Have you had any UFO sightings or any encounters with ETs?
Certainly have. I haven't seen any Blue Men, but when I was maybe 2 years old, way back when, you know, the old cars used to have that back window that almost wrapped around the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to sleep there. I was with my grandmother and grandfather, and I did see this thing in the sky that looked like a ball of light with a tail on it that looked like a crescent moon.
Hmm.
And I'm 65 years old, so this was quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And, of course, when I told them about it, they said, oh, no, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. That was the first time.
And there have been subsequent times, huh?
Me?
You have had other times that you've seen UFOs?
Yes, I have.
What's the most recent one?
The most recent one was maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on a naval operations base. We were having a party that night, and we lived on the lake at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this thing that looked like a cigar. It was lit up like orange, and it went over the lake, and it was humming, a low hum.
Now, was there any possibility that that could have been a dirigible, an airship?
No.
How big was it?
Low. How big was it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord. Well, when you look up in the sky, maybe, well, it was over the water, so you could see the reflection in the water. Maybe it looked to me like, from where I was, maybe 3-4 feet. But it could have been larger than that. I didn't know. When I went into the house, we were having a party, and I told the people, please come and look at this. And everybody came out and looked at it, and it was like, oh, my God, it's a UFO. Of course, we were all drinking, so nobody's going to believe us.
Okay.
So I never bothered to call anybody on it, but Uncle Joe believes me, huh?
All right, so, but you've never had any encounters with extraterrestrials so far as you know?
Oh, no, I haven't, but I would love to. I really would. Because I believe, if people think I'm crazy, oh, well, then. But I know what I saw. And what I saw was nothing that I've ever seen before.
Well, and 10 years ago, I don't think we would have had any unmanned vehicles up and flying that had any sort of configuration that would look like a cigar.
No, I don't either. So, and I didn't have that much to drink, so it couldn't have been that I was drunk.
All right. Well, listen, I very much appreciate this call. I have heard of you, of course.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Wonderful.
I've talked with Dr. Resnick off air several times. And also, Dave has mentioned you. So, yeah, I've heard of you. So it's good to finally get a voice with it. Now, this is your first time to call in, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes,
well,
it is.
Do you know what happens to first-time callers?
No, what happens?
You get some applause like this. I don't know if you can hear that now, but you're getting some applause there. And I want to thank you much for the call.
Very welcome, and you have a great night.
Thank you. All right. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. 623-237-3814. And we'd be more than happy to take your call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Thanks for taking my call. This is Ryan again up in Puget Sound.
Yeah, Ryan.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, are you staying busy these days?
Oh, well, that's one description of it, yes.
Oh, I love technology.
Well, it keeps me on my toes.
At the beginning of the show today, I was watching the videos that you had playing right before you came on the air, and there was a video of what looked like a flying saucer that was hovering above the ground, and it was moving to the left.
Yeah, that's the intro to the show.
Where does that video come from?
That video, all those little snippets of video, that's part of the intro to the show. And the one you're talking about is alleged to be a UFO in Italy.
You happen to know the year, possibly, that was?
No, I don't. I found that on YouTube.
Well, I thought it was an very interesting video. I'd like to know the year, or if it was done. I preferably like to look at videos that have been done before the computer age, where these days, you know, anything can be made. But
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't suspect that it was done before the computer age. I suspect that it's fairly recent. But if you go to YouTube and do a search for UFO Italy, you'll find it.
I wish you luck with your technical problems. It sure is. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that's helping you.
Well, I don't know. Look, we had that huge lightning storm, which, by the way, a piece of the video of that lightning is in that intro to the show as well.
Something else.
Oh, it was incredible. It was nonstop, just nonstop, continual lightning strikes. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that we picked up a few technical problems as a result of that. Also, moving all of the equipment. When you move any type of broadcast equipment, you can count on it. Something is going to go wrong and has to be fixed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the best thing to do is to get rid of AOL and get it off your system. But
I'm not on AOL, believe me. I am not on AOL.
Well, I watched that video at the beginning of the show today with you and Jeff Woolline out there, and it was pretty interesting. I was pretty incredible that what it looks like to be some sort of a pyramid mountain out there. And
there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them out there. There's about seven of them.
My wonder is what is underneath the ground out there after the Phoenix Lights and everything that's going on out there in Phoenix. What is the deal with Phoenix? Why is Phoenix such a hotbed after all the Catholic observatory? They chose Arizona, didn't they?
Yeah, but they're not in the Phoenix area. And but you know the questions about why Phoenix, I've asked those questions, and I've asked why South Mountain, why is it such a hot spot? The only explanation that I have heard that makes any sense at all to me is that you have this intersection. I forget if it's two or three fairly major ley lines that intersect right at South Mountain. So that's about all I know. I'm not even sure that's the reason, but that's what I've heard.
Well, I wish you luck, and the rest of the week, take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call. All right, folks, the telephone line will be reopened right after. Well, that's not supposed to be happening yet. Let's turn that off. Well, we'll just open up the telephone line now. I was about to shut it off for the break, but the break started up a little soon. All right, the telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hey, Trey, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to say that what he was talking about with the new videos and everything, I found a picture from the 1950s, and some guy, I don't know what he was taking a picture of. He was just snapping a picture, but it was an infrared camera. And this infrared camera, it showed three UFOs all in right next to each other. Then it shows a fourth one over here. Now, like I said, I don't know if that's what the guy was trying to shoot, but it was the infrared camera. And I thought that was pretty neat from the 50s.
Well, yeah. You know, it's very, very difficult to get your hands on any kind of infrared film now.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as, you know, nowadays stuff, you know, if you wanted to actually, you know, look at a video or something, you would have to have the capability to go test it to see if it was, you know, made or not, because the same, you know, same technology that allows you to make these things, you can also detect if it was made. So, but you would have to go do that individually. And I understand what he's talking about. You want to get those older things that you know wasn't created. You know, there's no way.
Well, yeah, but let me tell you, Billy Meyer used film. He's never used videotape. He used film, and his film has come under attack from skeptic after skeptic after skeptic after skeptic, and yet nobody's ever been able to prove that they're hoaxed. So it really seems like it doesn't matter if you use videotape or if you use film, you know, unless you can park the UFO right there in someone's front yard and have them come out and go in to inspect the UFO, to go inside the UFO. Then, you know, if they're a skeptic, they're just going to be a skeptic, and that's it. They're never going to believe what you tell them. I've had experience with that right here on this show when I say, I saw this, I saw that. And I have people tell me, well, it probably was this. No, I know what I saw. But people decide they don't want to believe. And that's good. That's good. They don't need to believe. What they need to do is check the evidence. We're into a break, man. I appreciate it. All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith. And earlier we had a guest, the guest being Jeff Woolline. And, you know, I've had several people ask me, well, what about that trip you took to South Mountain with Jeff Woolline and with Tom McCallum? You know, are we ever going to get to see the video? I've actually shown that video previously, but not during the show. And so we did sort of an abbreviated version of that video and for the show, and hope you enjoyed it. I do apologize that I didn't take a filter with me for the camera. And the problem is that it was really sunshiny, and so it was kind of bright and hard to see some of it. But the pictures at the end, I think, you would have, I think you enjoyed, and you certainly could see some of the petroglyphs that we were talking about. All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith. How about that? What is that about? All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Dave in Fuquay, Verena, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Hey, has Jeff ever done any spelunking and done any you know, search in any of the caves that are underground or underwater with his petroglyphs and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's been into some caves on South Mountain, and he has found petroglyphs in some of the caves on South Mountain. But you don't get very far, according to Jeff, you don't get very far into these caves before you find that they're blocked. And he's not sure how they got blocked, but he thinks maybe that, you know, right after World War II, well, even during World War II, President Roosevelt had lots of public works programs going on, and the CCC or something like that was doing work up on the mountain, and they blew up a whole lot of the rocks up there. And I, out on the side of the mountain, I saw several places where it was quite obvious someone had blasted rock away from where it had been. And he thinks that maybe part of what they did is to close the openings to these caves.
Yeah, because I was wondering how much of this stuff might be underground, and we've never even really been able to see or, you know, to get into.
There, I would suspect there's a lot of it. You know, there is a story out here, and I just have to say that it, as far as I know, you can only say it is a story. But when they were doing mining out in that area, there was supposed to be, for the miners, sort of an underground city that was built inside of South Mountain. You enter it from a cave in South Mountain, and underground there was supposed to be, according to the story, there were two or three bars, there were a couple of hotels, and you know, it was supposed to be fairly extensive.
That has been excavated, like in Turkey and stuff like that, where they have like total cities and stuff that are like underground and stuff like that. I mean, it's believable that could happen.
Have you heard any of the shows that I have done with a guest by the name of Farah Yardazu?
Oh, Farah, I know Farah personally. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, she has talked with us quite a bit about those underground cities there.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, and of course she is from Turkey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No one seems to have been able to locate the entrance to this sort of almost modern-day underground city that was constructed, according to the story, for the miners. And the reason for putting it underground was because it's much cooler.
Right.
And, of course, it was built at a time when there was no such thing as air conditioning.
Well, Kevin, I love your show, and I always listen, and I'll talk to you later. I'll let you go.
Hey, thanks for the call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone line is open for you. It is 623-237-3814. And, again, I apologize that we're having to use just one phone line tonight, but that's how it is. I don't know if you're familiar with a product called Magic Jack. Well, that's what we use for our online, on-air telephones. One of them has gone bye-bye. It died today. I got on the line with their support, and they worked with us all afternoon trying to find a way around the problem to make it work, and we could not find a way around the problem. So we're having to deal with having just one phone line tonight, but we're getting there. And I appreciate each of you who has called in, and I appreciate those of you who yet shall call in. 623-237-3814. Anyone who has spent any time watching the skies above Phoenix knows that some of the things that we see above Phoenix do not look like airplanes. They do not look like the standard elliptical-shaped UFO, but they're up there. And some people have seen them actually change shapes and so forth. Well, it amazes me when you go out to the mountain, to South Mountain, and you look at those petroglyphs at South Mountain, you see those shapes that you saw in the sky. You see them carved into the rocks. And these were carved centuries ago by the Hohokam, the people who vanished. And we have, there is a tribe of Native Americans known as the Pima. And the Pima word for the people who vanished is Hohokam. And so here locally, that's how we refer to whoever it was that was here that left these artifacts and vanished. Now, as Jeff says, when you go out and you look at this these carvings, what you find is you see distinct differences. So there are carvings that you can say, well, all of those look similar. And then there are some that you look at and you say, well, those don't look similar at all. Those look different. I mean, they look similar to each other, but they're different from these over here. And through his research, he's discovered, Jeff has discovered, that there was contact between the Hohokam and the Mayan, and there was trade between them. And you have to understand, we're not far from Mexico. You know, even if you had to come here by horseback or walking, we're not far from Mexico. And there were other Hohokam villages, if you will, installments between here and Mexico. And so it was a trade route, apparently. And but you see the Mayan symbols, and then you see the Hohokam symbols. And when he talks about portals or doorways, this is what the Native Americans say about those drawings. They say that marks a portal. It marks a doorway. And what he's been able to determine is that if the spiral ends with the end of the spiral downward, it is a portal or a doorway to the underground, subterranean. And then if the spiral ends with the end of the spiral upward, then it's talking about a portal in the sky. Now, I'm quite aware of the fact that all of this is a little bit difficult for some people to wrap their minds around or to buy the story. And I'm not saying you should. I'm saying it is totally fascinating when you see these carvings and you realize that those shapes are what you have seen in the sky above Phoenix. Now, I have used the example of the barbell shape, and I've said, you know, I've seen that above Phoenix, and even though I have said I've seen it, and even though I have played a video right here on the show of one of them happening, I've had people tell me it was everything else other than what it was. It astounds me. It astounds me. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Jerry from Winnipeg.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Getting cooler up here.
Yeah.
In Canada. How's the temperature down there?
Well, it is hot. However, I was talking with someone today who's lived here for about 15 years, and I made the comment that, yeah, it's hot, but, you know, this is a whole lot more mild than what we're accustomed to. Our summer here has been very mild compared to what we're accustomed to.
Yeah, I was looking at your movie there, very interesting, and, yeah, it looks like it's a very hot country. And speaking of that city inside the mountain, was that constructed before the miners used it? Do you know at all?
Or it was constructed for the miners.
Oh, it was built for the miners.
Yeah, by the miners.
By the miners. So mm-hmm. the ancient Indians or the tribes that were there didn't live in the mountain, so to speak.
Well, they may have. Apparently, this was constructed inside a natural cavern.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I have to say again, according to the story, and I don't know if that story is true.
Okay. Have there been any plans for any excavation whatsoever, or are they just going to leave it alone?
It is now a state park, and much of what you saw in that video was in areas that are marked as off-limits.
Okay.
Yeah, so no, they will not be excavating it.
Okay, I appreciate that. And have a wonderful evening, and it's been a wonderful show.
Well, thank you, and let me ask you a question. Are you a first-time caller?
Well, yes, I am.
Well, let's get some applause for you here. All right, thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking, it's sort of kind of semi-open line. Well, we're sort of talking about these petroglyphs, and I wanted you to get to see them. I wanted you to get to go to South Mountain with us, and we did that at the beginning of the show. And if you watch that, then especially at the end, you saw some of the photographs that where you really could see the petroglyphs clearly. And, you know, it's a shame, really, that you could not actually have been there with us. But at least we got to see some of the petroglyphs. Now, those still photographs that were taken right at the that we showed right at the end, those still photographs are were shot by Tom McCallum. The pretty cool thing about that. You know, Tom McCallum lives in Australia. And Tom McCallum was over here in the United States and decided to make a little side trip, I think from Nevada. He came to Phoenix. And when he got here to Phoenix, he and I met up, and we got Jeff Woolline on the phone and went out to South Mountain. And so the still photographs at the end of that video are taken by Tom McCallum, and we appreciate him doing that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, how's it going? You answered some of the questions, because I know you said you was up on top there, and it said that you wasn't supposed to be up there, so you said it was a state park now, or a mm-hmm. conservation site.
That's right.
Yeah. I was wondering, did Jeff show you guys any place where you could get into the mountain, or where he thought he wouldn't mind trying to get into the mountain to see, you know, if there's something there?
At my request, we had an abbreviated tour because we had abbreviated time in which to take the tour. But he, if you notice in the video, he talks about on the other side of this mountain, if we go around on the other side, there is a place where you can go in, and but you can't go in very far because it looks like it's been blocked off. You know, with it's got big blocks. It looks like it was purposely blocked off.
Yeah.
So at my request, we kept it an abbreviated tour. If we had taken the whole tour, we would have gone into some of these places. But you can't imagine now, if it's 102 degrees or 100, and I think it was 102, 103 Fahrenheit, which would be about almost 40 degrees centigrade or Celsius, then you get up on top of this mountain with no shade and on a very clear day, the temperature is actually much higher there than it is down at ground level. And you're in very direct sunlight, very direct UV, and it's really miserably hot. So we abbreviated it.
Okay. I just wondered if he... you know, ever mentioned to you that, you know, this would be a good spot where he thinks, you know, he would like to, you know, try and get into at some point.
Well, okay. Now I'll tell you this, on his websites, you will see pictures and I think maybe some video of a couple of openings into the mountain. But I know he's got a picture there somewhere on his website about, you know, it looks like an opening into the mountain, but shortly inside, while you're standing outside, you can see that it has been blocked off.
Okay. That's all I got. Just figured that, you know, be pretty interesting to try and get in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure someday somebody will. And that story is a rather persistent story here about the old west mining town that's inside the mountain. Is it true? I don't know, but I hear it from a lot of different places around here.
Mm. Yeah, you see, something like that, you seem like it would probably be pretty easy to pick out that, you know, somebody's been in and out of there or that kind of construction.
Yeah, unless the workers that were there after World War II have dynamited the entrance to it closed. Now, there are some people that think they know where it is. I've heard several talk about it. You know, the place they think it is has been dynamited closed.
Sounds like it, somebody knows that there's something there. Like a lot of the sites that you went to are off limits. It sounds like somebody's trying to keep something secret.
Did you watch that whole video? At the beginning?
When you were showing?
Yeah.
Yes.
At the end, there's a yellow sign. That yellow sign that's right there near the end of the video is a marker that tells you this is off limits. It's prohibited to leave the trail here. We had been all up over that mountain at that spot before we even saw that sign. But we saw it when we came down. But most of where we were is off limits. You can't go up there, but we did.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, the telephone number is 623-237-3814. If you have a comment or a question, I'll do my best to answer it. I have to defer to Jeff Woolline as the expert on that, and certainly you can send him email from his website. It's seenufos.com. No, seenufosoverphoenix.com. S-E-E-N-U-F-O-S, O-V-E-R, over, Phoenix, P-H-O-E-N-I-X.com. Jeff goes in for very long domain names. The other one is petroglyphsinthesky.com. But go over and take a look, because there are some fascinating photographs and videos available there. And what amazes me, as I say, lots and lots of times when we look at someone else's videos or we look at their films, you know, that skeptical part of us rises to the top, and it should. I am not critical of that. It should. But what amazes me is being on that side of it, you know, the same side that Jeff is on, being on that side of it for a couple of things that I've seen. And then when I tell people, they have some other opinion about what it is. Okay, we're out of time, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed that video. We're still working bugs out of the technology, but we're getting there. When we think we have one thing fixed, something else goes. But that's just what happens when you move stuff. Don't forget Megapack, the second special offer. If you want it, you need to order it, because I really am not joking when I say it's limited time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.
To this encore presentation of The Kevin Smith Show on Steel Eye Media Network.